At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay. All right. What's going on? Okay. So everyone, thanks for being on this meeting this morning. It's our first meeting of the fall as a staff with CBA. And, you know, one, I want to, you know, thank you guys all for your diligence this summer. I know that, you know, it's been a long one, especially you guys that have had to travel back and forth from the East Coast and back and doing your own thing, being a part of different, you know, external projects and leagues and things like that. But as we get into the fall, happy to kind of gain some direction with you all and figure out the best plan of action together on how we can make it a better experience for our players, for our parents, and then ensure that, you know, our roadmap for their success is something that actually works. So, you know, I think over the last month or so, I've kind of done some soul searching on how this could improve, and, you know, have lacked dialogue with you guys at times. But then now, as we get into things, I want to implement more. So, but thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the call. I do want to go through a meet and greet really quickly with, you know, key, you know, people that are a part of our program right now and going forward. I do want to welcome back Chris Vopinick, who will be, you know, back with us going forward beginning this fall after he's done winning a championship in Cape Cod, hopefully. Probably because Jimenez isn't there, they have a chance. So
yeah, we told all the players that Jimenez actually passed, and they've been extremely motivated. Wouldn't have worked if it wasn't a coach that they didn't like. So kudos to that. But yeah, he's going back to services. He just didn't know that they were his own.
I know, poor guy. Well, it's okay. We can lose over here with him. So, and then with Joe Torres, I think we put out a post the other day, kind of welcoming him into the program. Thanks for being here, Joe. If you want to kind of introduce yourself to the group, because I'm not sure everybody knows you yet.
Yeah, I'm Joe. The majority of you guys probably ran into on a field or on a backfield somewhere. I am probably the crazier of the Joes on the call.
That says a lot, too.
Probably rare to say. You know, I don't know, but. Looking forward to, you know, helping out in the mornings and doing what I can. I am the recruiting coordinator and the infield guy and the hitting guy at Chapman University right here in Orange. I'm also the groundskeeper, so that's where I apologize. I was technologically not figuring it out, but I'm at the yard right now trying to get it mowed and figured out. But, no, excited to get rolling with everybody.
Cool. And between those two guys, and just to implement structure and how we do things, there's always been a vision to kind of emulate how, you know, Major League Baseball organizations handle their farm system, how handle their roving instruction system, how they handle their player development system, all that stuff, right? And then figuring out how we can, you know, do our best. Obviously, we're, you know, dealing with kids and we're in the private sector and all that. We don't get a ton of funding, so we just do the best we can with what we got, which I think is much better than what everybody else is able to offer. So one, that stems from like you guys' willingness to go the extra mile to teach good baseball. You guys enjoy what you do. Whereas like I've seen, like, you know, you go out and you watch, you know, coaches on the field with other programs and other teams, and you could just literally see it on their face. They're just there to collect a paycheck, and like they don't really enjoy this. It's just only a 9-to-5 for them, and it's not really. So I think by hand selecting the people that we have through, you know, in our organization or in our program, we've, you know, I've spent time with each of you, And it's primarily about creating, a good experience, right? And that needs to happen for us too. But between Joe Torres and Chris Vopnik, right, they're gonna come back with us as what we call like field coordinators. And what that really means is, how are we gonna bridge the gap between what our flagship program or our flagship teams do on the field, and then what our development system looks like when we're at practice, and what we, how we can implement those systems from the top down, all the way down to, the youngest teams we may have, which, we have 10 U players right now. Not sure if we'll ever have 9 or 8 U and, 5 U kindergarten teams. But if theoretically we did that, how do we, and I use the term bridge the gap a lot. How do we bridge the gap between, the youngest age group, right? Making it fun baseball, for kids, and then, gradually increase intensity as they get older. And then gradually it turns into a business for players as they move into college, where they have to market themselves well. They have to, at some point you just get evaluated on how you move, how you take the field, how you stand, how you interact with others, right? So, the role of field coordinator is really a matter of like, okay, let's implement program policies, standards across the board, and then, working with players, but also working with the other coaches on this call for sure, right? Because that's why you're here. But then the guys that aren't on this call, right, just kind of being an extension of what those standards are and making sure we're getting better at implementing. We're never going to be perfect at this stuff, which that's why, that's the job security part of it, because there's always going to be something to do. So, and I guess that's a really good thing, because, in baseball, nobody's perfect. Well, nobody's perfect anyways, but in baseball, it's really hard to be, successful, right? And so it's where there's a ton of room for growth for players, which obviously means there's a ton of growth for room for growth for us. Torres is also going to be essentially like an ops guy, director of operations for us, where he's going to implement a ton of structure and help us build out schedules. I'll be working with him pretty closely to help us build out schedules for the future, staffing, how we can be better at offering recruiting assistance for players. I'm missing some stuff, but essentially, like, doing a lot of things that, taking a lot of stuff off my plate, essentially, where I can't do it all the time. I think the more the merrier when it comes to this. I think that each one of you, each one of us, can play a little bit of a role with those things too. But for the most part, like, Joe's going to be the guy, along with me, that we kind of coordinate those things together. Okay, so thanks for all that. Getting into like the development side a bit more, and what that structure is going to look like. So if we're thinking Southern California right now as a whole, between Inland Empire, Orange County, LA County, specifically the San Gabriel Valley area, we look at those three places as like our hubs, right? And with those hubs, right, we're able to send our roving staff around to make sure that we're implementing a cohesive approach to instruction, okay, and philosophy and all that. So that's where, as field coordinators, those guys kind of will help there, making sure we're doing the same stuff everywhere we teach baseball, right? So from how we stretch to how we play catch to how we run the bases to how we, and then, underneath them are essentially like our fundamental coaches, right? Fundamental roving guys. So we have, just to introduce Chris Jimenez really fast, if you want to take a second to introduce yourself and kind of give a quick background, that'd be great.
I'm Chris Jimenez. I think most people on this call, I either know or they know me. But I've been involved with CVA probably for the last 12 years of my life. I was a player, played at Long Beach State, stayed involved with CBA, would always come back for the winter stuff. And big component of what I like to do is get guys better and get guys to really grow and prosper in this organization. I spent 2 years coaching at Mount Sac Junior College after I finished playing. And then I spent last summer in the Northwoods League coaching. After that, went to University of Hawaii, was the director of catching development and scouting over there. Spent a little bit of time with CBA whenever I could out in CBA or out in Hawaii. And just got back from the Cape with Vopanek and ready to get this thing rolling. So I'm a big believer in getting guys better. I want to stay in CBA mainly because I want to give guys and players the opportunity that I had. Yeah, pretty much it.
Wait, do you and Vope have any fun stories? Me and Vope have fun stories from last summer.
Probably not for a recorded call, but
I'm sure. Yeah, that's
got some great stories.
He has more than I do.
Well, now he would.
For this summer, yeah.
Yeah, now he would.
I don't know if anything will match Winnie the Pooh, though.
You're pretty handcuffed now. So, yeah. No, Winnie the Pooh is definitely he's in retirement. So, okay, cool. But then also, you know, you guys have been around. Well, most of you guys have been around, like Tony Garcia. So here's the thing about Tony Garcia. I don't know what to call him. There's like 15 Tony Garcias, right? You have, I call Big Toe, you know, Tony Garcia Pacheco's father, right? That's Big Toe. And then you have Little Toe, who's Tony Garcia. And I don't know what number comes after that. Is it the fourth? How many Tony Garcias are there?
No, I'm the third, and that's where –
That's where it stops.
Senior, junior, the third, and then I need to create the fourth.
Oh, are you going to do that?
Yeah.
So Bam's on the call too. Can Bam, let's say you decide to name your son, you know, Greg, right? If Bam decides to have a son and name his son Tony, would that be the fourth?
I've never thought about that. I don't think so.
No, it don't work like that.
Not how that works, Joe.
I don't know. I mean, okay. Well, anyways, so between Chris Jimenez, Tony, Abraham, Bam for short, they'd be working at some point cohesively together to help us build catching programs. So together, catching coordinators. Hank Sprinkle's not on the call, right? He's essentially not to be confused with field coordinator, but fielding coordinator, which he's done a really great job over the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. I'm helping develop, rebuild, I would say, our youth program to where it's at right now, where we're, you know, I think we've, you know, and kudos to the parents for, you know, being development first with us, but watching how that's grown, you know, under Hank's leadership in the Inland Empire, and how, you know, the direction that we have there, I think that's really been fun to watch. So, you know, along with the guys that have been out there to help, like Coach Al and Chase and you know, now more recently, Danny Briones has been helping out a little bit more recently. But just watching how that and how that's going to gain direction and steam, I think it's been pretty cool. You know, it's taken a lot of patience, though, on everybody's parts. And so I just want to maintain that consistency and then, again, extend those types of standards from what Hank's implemented from a fielding standpoint across the board. So again, going back to catch play and how important that is for all positions. I would like to see, I guess, you know, and because Hank's time is kind of limited, it's hard to get him everywhere, but I would like to see more of us like kind of get out and watch him work, just watch him and see how he, you know, goes about his business. From dealing with players, just intensity. I'm not saying we all got to have that big vein going down the side of our neck from our, you know, from you know, kind of screaming instruction across the field. But I do think that there's something to be said for commanding the room and you know, moving around with a purpose, right? And I think that that says that kind of sets an energy standard for players, right? One thing I'm not a super fan of is, and I'm not saying that happens here, is, you know, when we do watch catch play, or I'm sorry, when players are playing catch before games, you know, during practice, right? And then, again, this isn't us, I'm just saying in general. And then it's not good catch play, right? And then a kid makes an error. A kid's not in line for a relay. A kid is not, you know, you fill in the blank, like doesn't turn a double play, right? And then the coach is yelling, hey, you got to play catch. But there's no real, like, you know, I don't believe that you should be able to hold a kid accountable or a player accountable for something that you're not working on or you're not paying attention to. So that's why we are big on that. So going back to the catch play thing, right? Getting that, we sent out our catch play routine via the Legends app back in like April or maybe May to all of our players, right? And so they should be able to at least know, be aware of what those drills are and what those, you know, what, you know, and get some of that stuff out of the way. So when they're doing that stuff on their own, they come to the field, is typically, it typically should be a better product from a catch play standpoint. So if we can also like all collectively just remind players, they need to refer back to that and understand what those drills are. It doesn't mean they got to be perfect at it, but they at least got to know how to transition from drill to drill at practice without us having to do a demo all the time. Right. So like that takes away like valuable practice time. With that, you know, and just kind of touching on the app a little bit more, the more systems we could put on the app and streamline to players so that they can do stuff at home or at least study it on their own time. Right. And again, understand what these drills and exercises are, the better our practices are going to be, just because even if you get a percentage of those players paying attention to those things, right, that's going to help us out on the field tremendously, not having to focus on, you know, the BS, so to speak. Right. Okay. Moving on, Andy Smith's not on the call. A lot of you guys know Andy. I've been fortunate enough to be around him for the last 4 or 5 years, intermittently helping at Chaffey College with him. And being able to watch him work as a head coach, it's been pretty cool. You know, he's probably, I mean, at the time, one of the younger head coaches, I think, in junior college at the time when he first started there. And I don't know, man. I mean, you know, Chris, Volk's been around him. It's really hard to go back to back to back when it comes to conference championships, especially if it's not like, it wasn't like he was handed a powerhouse, you know? And so watching him work with hitters specifically, has been really fun. I've learned a lot from him. You know, one thing I would say that makes him one of the better hitting guys, and you know, I'll go out on a limb and say in college baseball, is because he just pays attention and he cares. You know, he has the patience to work with guys who aren't getting it, so to speak. And he has the communication skills and the knowledge to, and the drill selection to be able to, essentially fix a swing, you know, quote in quotes. That contradicts what I really believe about, you know, hitting. I don't really believe you can actually fix a swing, but in sense, like he knows how to communicate hitting in a way where guys are they know how to make adjustments a lot more easily. We've had him out with our young guys at times. We had him out with high school guys, and just watching him work there, it's not any different. Like, he helps guys hit. For our players, whenever he's out doing stuff, I would say, let's get our hitters around him as often as we can, right? So we're building a plan to have him out more. He'll serve as our hitting coordinator. Now took the head job at Citrus College, so that's really great for us. Obviously great for him, so congrats. But I think that, you know, again, whenever we have a coordinator that's putting together a plan for our players, we all have to echo that. We all have to reinforce that. And that's going to require us at times to be around each other or to get on these meetings or to, you know, to have dialogue, right? Because it's not just like, you know, let's just say, you know, Vope, you know, has his ideas of hitting. He runs an offense. Do you run the offense at Cerritos?
Yep.
Okay, so he runs an offense, right? So he has his idea. So, and he's good at what he does. But what does that blending of philosophies look like to create one cohesive program between Chris and between, and Jimenez and, myself? Because we all have, we all have our ideas, and Tony and Bam and so on and so forth. What does that look like when we create, when we communicate what we're trying to, accomplish for players, right? And so, again, across those three hubs, right, those are, easy opportunities for us to be around each other when we're doing things on the field. You know, Vopnik's been around, has kind of earned the right not to have to drive from Long Beach to Fontana every day. But again, like, we've been able to spend time with each other. Hank's been able to spend time with him. I've been able to spend time with him, obviously. Most of you guys have been able to spend time where we can be an extension of him and what he's established in these areas when he's not there. So I think that concept is really easy for us to execute just because of the relationships that we have with each other. Moving on, and then just, the coaches that we have that are at the field. Congrats to Coach Al, by the way. Coach Al, is that your selfie on that picture right there, Coach Al? On your, who is that? Oh, it's Chief Wahoo. That's not you. I don't even know if he's listening anymore, but congrats to Coach Al.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Oh, it is Chief Wahoo. What's, are you in Ohio right now?
No, oh. I'm still in Rancho.
Oh, lucky. Nice hat. Now you wear it. Now he wears it.
Not sweating.
Not sweating. yeah, it was a sweaty summer. For Al, it was sweatier than normal. So Al, question. When you, are you going to be going back and forth from Ohio, or are you going to be staying in Ohio when you go out there?
I don't have to stay out there permanently until after Christmas break.
Oh, okay. So, for those of you guys don't know, and I don't know if he cares or not, but, Al just took a job as an assistant at Cedarville, which, for, people who might be listening to this, which maybe just be like one person at some point, that's a D2 program in Ohio. That's where Chris goes to school, and essentially was a cleanup hitter at one point. So congrats to Al.
Thanks.
I don't believe, especially on the West Coast, I don't believe that there's a system like this where we all can accomplish what we want to do. But it takes a team, I think, to do it. And this is the team we built, and we're just going to get better. For what this plan looks like at these three hubs, ideally 3 to 4 days a week of activities in all three of those areas, right? Skill development for players, looking at more hitting, getting them a chance to see more velocity from machines, more glove work and a smaller, in a different setting than just being on a field all the time with, with 15, 20 kids, giving them more individual stuff, getting better at the advanced skill clinics, right? So getting better and more consistent with how we implement, catching and hitting, right? Specifically, right? Those are kind of the two things we've laid off of the last few months. But having, three catching guys that do a great job, and and adding, good hitting guys to this, it gives our guys an opportunity to not just, develop their swing or develop their ability to catch, block, receive, all that stuff, but in a cost-effective fashion, give high-end coaching to our players, right? So it's, essentially, we've talked about it in the past, it essentially takes away, or it replaces the original or the traditional lesson model where you're paying $100 a lesson, cuts that cost down to, a third, and then it gives guys an opportunity to get better in small group settings. So that's kind of what we're leaning to here, and just being a really great job at promoting that across the board. Joe, Torres, just want to question, when you deal with your guys at Chapman, you know, from an organizational model, I know it's, you know, considered a program, not an organization. How do you guys like implement coaching, or how do you guys blend your coaching philosophies to create like one message?
We do a lot of like making sure everybody's on the same page pre-practice, right? That way, you know, hey, you know, Billy is just barrel dumping left and right, left and right, left and right. I know it, you know it, he knows it. We can't all go tell him the same way. And sometimes, like, you know, hey, if Billy's a shortstop and he's spent 7 straight weeks with me, I might have the catching guy go, hey, go talk to him about hitting or something like that, just so it's coming from a different, you know, mouthpiece. But to stay on the same message, a lot of it is just getting on the same message before practice. You know, obviously the goal would be like, hey, you know, in the morning, like, hey, this is what, you know, we would like to do, while still having the flexibility of, hey, you get to practice and you want to change it. And some of that happens like right before. Some of that happens, you know, like, hey, we're watching catch play and I'm watching the catcher's throw, and I know we're throwing towards the tail end of practice. I'm going to go talk to the catching guy and say, hey, look, I think, you know, this is what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? How can we engage it and adjust it? That way it's something that can be fixed at the, on the spot and worked on the spot. And that way it's the same message coming from two different people or three different people, depending on who's there, using kind of the same verbiage while also being maybe a little different in their coaching and teaching strategies. Because, you know, especially with youth, especially with kids, they're not all going to respond to the exact same versions of coaching. I think that's, you know, a strength of this group is, yeah, we all coach, but we all coach very differently. You know, I work with hitters differently than Bope. I work with hitters differently than, you know, you or with Jimenez. We all want the same things. It's just, you know, different things that we kind of key in on. So as long as anybody's kind of eyeball to eyeball with it, and as long as everybody's got good communication, obviously it's tough with larger groups, but getting together with more of like a, hey, this is like the goal of today, or even like if it's the goal of the week, right? So, hey, you know, Thursday we're going to do catching, and it's going to be, you know, what's the emphasis of the day? Because, you know, it's kind of hard to do everything from a one-day perspective. So, but say we're going to block today, just making sure all the coaches know, hey, like, we're blocking today. This is what we really want to work on. This is what we really want to have emphasis on. I think that would be kind of the strength, is making sure guys are on the same goal of what's the goal, and then not losing ourselves from the goal on the journey to it.
No. Well, I mean, I think there's, like, what you just said, it's like, we're dealing with larger numbers, right? So, like, that communication between all of us. And again, like, it's not going to, you know, I'm not expecting everybody to get on phone calls every single day and texting every day, everybody every day. But whenever we can get together in a setting like this, this is the perfect place to ask those questions and have that dialogue and make sure we are just kind of blending those ideas the best we can. You know, because again, you guys are all good coaches. I've been around of all you guys a ton, all good coaches. Some of you guys as players, Danny Briona has been around you since you were like 10, right? So you got to really see what this is like from a player perspective, right? When you're, just entering puberty, which I think you actually entered it when you were about 8. So maybe I caught you, in your formative years when you were becoming a really good player at a young age. And that's been fun to watch. So kind of steps going forward, right? I'd like to implement these, or do these meetings on Mondays again going forward, unless told otherwise, because just, it just helps us be better at what we do when we get on the field. From a player development standpoint, right, what we have again is those 3 to 4 days a week of activities in each region, roving instructors, making sure we're implementing the right stuff. communicating well between each other, trying our best to get max participation with what we do, right? So, for instance, we have our college camp this weekend, 23-ish to 25 schools in attendance. What have we done to help prepare players for this weekend, right? So, you know, this last week we gave some extra BP to high school guys in Orange County. Obviously, everybody was welcome to attend that. We played some extra games, 32 innings yesterday on the field at Mission Viejo High School. That was a long one. That was after batting practice, and that was after speed testing. And then, you know, this week, you know, activities on the field include even an inner squad on Thursday, right, where guys can get some at-bats prior to the camp this weekend in an effort to give them an opportunity to showcase well. So I'll be seeing a lot of you guys then, I'm sure. Maybe not. Actually, I'm going to be seeing most of you guys, I don't think. Actually, is Cerritos going to be at the camp, Chris?
I was going to ask you that. Do you want to see me to see if Eastburn can go?
Be there. Sure. Mm. Yeah. Does Fern want to go?
No.
No? He can skip out on Sunday.
He can skip out on Sunday?
You skip out on Sunday. He doesn't have to show up for that. No, Sundays are important to him.
Yeah, very.
So, okay. Well, we'll talk about that after the call. But also a transition, right? A transition from how we implement strength and conditioning. Because we're going to do more baseball skill work beginning at least by the first week in September, 3 to 4 days a week. Probably going to change the type of speed and or performance training, I should say, that we're offering at the facilities right now. We, for those of you guys that are, you know, familiar with four of the monthly dues, right? Guys are able to get into speed and power training at the facilities in Glendora and Fontana. Probably going to change that model in Fontana to what we call power circuit. So instead of like the high speed treadmill and plyometric stuff, we may do 1 day of power circuit training, maybe two if we could staff that correctly. But power circuit's essentially like getting on the pneumatic stuff, like the Kaiser stuff, and going in the, you know, Chris Jimenez, you're familiar with that. A lot of you guys are familiar with that, that training, where it's, you know, building strength, endurance. And, you know, again, building power across different planes of motion, which are what's needed. I had a talk with one of our players yesterday, young players, you know, kind of segueing here, one of our young players yesterday, and he's super athletic. Almost all you guys know him, super athletic, younger guy, twitchy, right? So twitchy meaning like he's pretty explosive out of the box and he's pretty explosive with his swing. And he's talking about gaining weight. So I do want to touch on something constructive for players really quickly. And you guys chime in. I'm not a big fan of players thinking, okay, I got to get bigger. Bigger and stronger is typically the phrasing, right? And I need to gain weight. I'm not a big fan of that because gaining weight to me should be a natural byproduct of the type of training that you're engaging in to be a better athlete, right? So when you look at Trey Turner, Mookie Betts, and this is the type of player that I was talking about. Obviously, he's not like a middle of the order guy, right? We're talking about like a pretty good athlete, like sub seven runner would be great, but sub seven runner, 60-yard dash runner, rotates really like really quickly when he swings. You know, so before I kind of give my take on that, would love to hear what either Chris or Joe has to say about that. And then I'll give my opinion. But if one of you guys want to chime in to see, to kind of give your take on what you think, like we should be trying to accomplish from an athletic performance perspective, that'd be awesome.
From my perspective, dealing with, I mean, let's face it, like just watching a ton of 16 and 17 year olds, I would say upwards of 80% are not on the right track calorically for what they need to be on. And I'm not telling everybody's got to be 200 pounds. That guys are going to recruit it differently. But what I would say is there's a difference between training the right way, which I would think this generation trains better. Like, they're smarter than any generation before. We know more. But what hasn't caught up yet is just the amount they need to eat. So I would ensure, like, you know, obviously it's different with youth and things, but we've had kids that, you know, when we bring them into the nutritionist, you know, these are college freshmen. The nutritionist calls them in and goes like, hey, they're 1,500 calories under where they need to maintain. And they have no idea, just because it's not something that's taught. You know, I don't think you need to be serving your kid filet and sirloin, but if he's eating chicken nuggets for lunch and, you know, a couple taquitos for dinner, no matter what he's doing in the weight room with pneumatic press, no matter what he's doing with speed training, the body's going to break down instead of be able to recover. So I would be a lot heavier on the, hey, make sure you're eating enough and make sure you're eating like right things versus giving them like actual plans or things. Because I mean, if you go through it, you know, I would say there's for every fat guy, for every out of shape guy, we're like, hey, that guy needs to cut down. There's 10 kids that want to play in college baseball that do not have the actual like density to play a full year of college baseball.
I agree with that. Hey, man, what were you going to say?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think from a young age standpoint, and by young, I'm going to set that line at 17 and under, or six, let's say, set it for 16 and under. I don't think that we need to prioritize weight as much as some of these players or parents think that we need to, or they need to, mainly because a lot of these younger guys, they haven't even gotten to puberty yet. Males naturally mature a little bit later. Just seeing that at the JUCO level, we have guys that, one, have never lifted, two, didn't worry about their weight, and three, still haven't even matured yet, right? Their bones haven't even fully developed. Muscles haven't even fully developed. So when you get to the point when you're 13, 14, 15 years old and you're trying to put on all this weight, or you're trying to get stronger, gaining strength and getting bigger are completely separate things. And I think what we need to focus on is creating a better athlete, making sure that their bodies are in line, right? I think that's the most important thing. Keeping a player that is fast, that's fast switch, keeping him athletic is going to be more important than getting him stronger in the long run. Because the more weight they put on as a younger child, the less athletic they're going to be, the slower moving they're going to be. And I mean, this is just my personal opinion. Being a college coach, I'm looking for an athlete, not somebody that is going to run a 4.6 down to first base and maybe hit some doubles. I want a guy that's going to be athletic, be able to play every position, and just working strength and conditioning for the years that I have, I think there's a little bit more of a priority in creating athletes that are able to produce power, produce acceleration, and be able to basically control their own weight. Leave the weight gaining and the maintenance for a college baseball player. That's my opinion.
Cool. So when you're at Hawaii, right, and, you know, go Bows, when you're at the University of Hawaii, and, you know, me and Vogue got a chance to go out and watch you guys quite a bit this last year, the type of player that's recruited there is not the typical body type that a lot of programs recruit, right? You guys have a lot of, like, thin, wiry I mean, even catcher. I mean, maybe not your catcher this year, but catchers, right? I mean, who was the catcher last? You weren't there last year, but the catcher that UH had last year was like a thin.
Yeah, Dallas.
There you go. Yeah. Thin, and he was a monster behind the plate. He was good, yeah. You know. And so obviously, you know, University of Hawaii will recruit somebody differently than, you know, maybe, you know, the University of Tennessee. But when we're thinking about what West Coast Division I baseball looks like, it's a lot of those guys. It's a lot of, you know, not 6'4", 220 corn fed, you know, guys that are going to put one out of the park every fourth or fifth at bat, right? It's going to be a guy that can extend a single into a double and, you know, take two bases on a hit and, you know, read ball in the dirt, all the stuff we try to demand from our players, right? Because West Coast baseball is different, right? And we were able to spend time in California on the field a whole lot more than, you know, somebody in New York can throughout the year. So we're able to capitalize on those opportunities. With that, right, we got to be selective, right? If we do come across the guy that has a chance to be 6'4", 220, corn fed, right, then obviously that guy's handled differently. But, you know, again, creating good power output, I think, should be the priority. So this player in particular that I was talking to yesterday, he said, yeah, I'm trying to get to, I can't remember the weight, but let's just say 175. I'm like, okay, well, if you're 175, right? Like, this is the analogy I use, right? Mercedes-Benz, they have their AMG line, right? It's like the high performance engine, the AMG engine, right? You put that engine in an SUV, right? It's going to have some power. It's going to be great. But if you put that same engine in their sports car, like, how much quicker off the line is that car going to go? You know, how much quicker off, you know, who's going to win in the quarter mile, you know, in a quarter mile race right there between, it's the same engine, but it's just a heavier, you know, it's carrying a heavier load, right, in the SUV. So we don't want to put too much weight, I think, on an athlete that has an opportunity to be, you know, a force to be reckoned with on the bases. And not only that, right, like, you know, if you think, and here's one of the things I'm starting to get really upset about. You know, we also had a player, and all you guys know this player, right, this summer, who did a really great job at the beginning of the summer. He lost weight. Right. And he, you know, he plays a position that demands for him to be pretty active throughout the game, right, behind the plate as a catcher. He lost weight because he was, you know, he was heavier. He lost weight, which we needed to happen, and did a great job, created a ton of progress throughout the summer. And now that school's starting, right, he's going back to his routine of not training, because school starting and baseball practice is starting with the high school program. And so then I worry, like, what kind of, he just got to where he was by creating a new routine and doing a great job at it. Why go backwards? Why not stick to that routine and adding it to, you know, adding it to a already somewhat long day. But if you're playing college baseball, like, those are long days. You have school, obviously, you have baseball practice, you have strength and conditioning, and this is like almost a daily thing, right? So if we could send the message to players, right, and I don't want this to only come from me, it's coming from me a ton, and I know people are probably sick of hearing from me about this, like players and parents specifically, you know, coming from the guys that have been there, right, you know, what can we say about them just being consistent with what they've been doing from a training standpoint so that they don't fall backwards?
I will say that, and this is from personal experience, high school programs don't do enough to get their players, whether it's in better shape, in better baseball shape, and maintaining or whatever it is. From my experience, CBA was the only thing that kept me game ready at all times, right? And I was with Coach Al when I was in high school. I'll be honest, we rolled the balls out and we won a state championship, but that was because all the guys on our team played travel ball. We played for CBA or for Coach Al, right? And we worked our butts off when that time came. We worked really hard to get in the weight room, practice outside of high school. We practiced hard during the high school season, but we would also go to practice after our practice with CBA, right? And a lot of that has to do with, obviously, you, Joe, just making sure that we were bought into that and the development that you showed just based on the guys before. So I would say don't give up on yourself just because the high school season starting. CBA and the training aspect, and there's so much more opportunity to be successful now in CBA in terms of all the stuff that comes with it. So
appreciate that. What do you have to say to the player that says, well, you know, yeah, I'm done training for the summer, but I still have my gym membership and I'm going to go do that?
Go do it. Both. Do both. I think there's a different aspect of getting stronger. And I wrote these four things down, but the players that have the speed, have strength, mobility, and agility are the ones that are going to be successful. And the guys that focus on those four things throughout the course of a season are the ones that are going to maintain properly and see more success in terms of results, numbers, whatever it may be.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I would just like to create better movers, right? Better, more effective, efficient movers. You know, obviously throwing patterns, you need to move effectively to take care of your arm. You know, if you're hitting and you want to hit for some power, right, you got to move effectively and have a broader range of motion so that you're not, you're not restricting yourself. And then with that, and just touching on what Torres was saying earlier, is that guys aren't eating enough. And I kind of want to take that a step further. I don't think they eat enough or they fuel themselves properly surrounding a training session or when they're expected to perform. Right. So, you know, this summer, for instance, through all of our communication where we're sending out stuff to guys going on the road for tournaments, part of that was how to properly hydrate and fuel yourself. And essentially, like, you need several things to be great, you know, in an acute setting. So, like, you know, you need some sugar, right? You do need some sugar to, you know, carbohydrates to fuel. You do need electrolytes. You obviously need water, right? So we, you know, set a, you know, a standard of, you know, 1 16-ounce Gatorade every 2 to 3 innings, right? So you're looking at probably like 2 to 3, you know, Gatorades per game, right? Which isn't a lot, especially if you're standing in Arizona in 115, right? I mean, that's really not a lot. And that's on top of maybe like a Dixie cup of water every inning, right? And it's not a lot. So I also think that when you're fueling yourself during your training session, so you're going to speed and power, right? Especially day one, like you get on the treadmill at the facilities, it's like, okay, they're going through, you know, high intensity interval training for athletes, right? Ton of sprint work, right? Uphill sprint work. And then by the fourth or fifth run, you see guys laying down on the turf or sitting on the bench and their eyes are rolling back. And to me, it's like, okay, they're not going to hit their peaks that day because they probably didn't fuel themselves very well surrounding that training session. So the better you can fuel yourself around your training session, right, you'll get those adaptations that you're looking for in your body. So if you're trying to get more explosive, you're trying to get your knees higher when you're running, you're trying to have proper form when you're moving, when you're changing direction or throwing or things like that. When you think about like the pitch clock and how the recovery rate for pitchers has gone down drastically, right? Well, as that recovery rate goes down, right, so does command. Right. So how do you get a guy to recover in 20 seconds now to make a more quality pitch now with the pitch clock in effect versus, you know, 5 years ago, whenever, you know, 3, 4 years ago, whenever the pre-pitch clock era was in play, when they could take as much time as they want. Right. You know, which now that I believe that does lead to more arm problems and more strain and things like that. So the importance of making sure guys stay consistent in how they train their energy systems, specifically, you know, pitchers, which is why I do like our speed and power program, because they're able to improve that recovery rate, condition well, make sure that they can throw harder, longer, with, you know, being less laborious through that process. So yeah, that's my spiel for that. Joe Torres, maybe we spend some time too. I'm going to see you in a little bit, right? Maybe we spend some time on the nutrition aspect a bit, because we can streamline that stuff too. We can streamline, like, you know, we can get with as many players as we want. We could talk about like how we give them a meal plan or some guidelines from a carbohydrate versus protein standpoint. And we could streamline that to any player or any athlete that we want to do that with.
Yeah.
And that's streamlined through. I mean, I think we did a walkthrough with the app last week, right? So we can do that. And it's really easy to do it across the board. So maybe it's something we do talk about with our guys a little bit more often, and then we show them how to use it. And then maybe that could be another call, another demo that we send out.
And I'm just thinking, like, you know, how do we make ourselves different? Like, if our guys come to a Chapman practice, they're not going to be blown away. It's the same drills that I had run at CBA practice, the same drills that, you know, Bope's probably running 15 minutes on. That's not, you know, they can find those things. The thing that's different is you can't Google, you know, hey, how many calories should I be eating if I'm 13 years old and want to play baseball? It's not like a thing they can do, but we can at least give them the guidelines of, hey, you know, you probably should be having – 3 meals a day and a snack. You should be having, you know, when you're done playing, something to eat. When you're done working out, you know, something to eat. And Joe, I go back to, you know, when we met in the facility and worked out with that brother and sister, and he said he had worked out that day, and then he was trying to go through that workout. He's like, well, I haven't eaten. I'm like, well, you already worked out today. It's your second workout. You haven't eaten anything all day. You're just, at that point, almost wasting time, because if your body's not having anything to put back into it, then you're essentially just spinning the rotors and breaking down the muscles. So I think it is an important part, and I think it is a huge part that's lacking in today's player development, quote unquote, you know. Yeah. And that's why it is such a, you know, your first week of pro ball, you go see a nutritionist. My first week of Division I baseball, I had more meetings with the nutritionist than I did the head coach my first 3 weeks. Like, it's a very big thing that guys are pushing, that you don't want to get blindsided with, because it does us no good to get guys ready for college baseball if they get to college baseball and just get run over by a truck.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So, and then to touch on that too. So, like, you'll be at the facility in the mornings during the school, right? When for Legends Academy, at the school, where you'll serve, and this is kind of a segue, he's going to serve as the site director there, essentially, like just making sure the wheels don't fall off, you know, but also surrounding our training sessions, right? We're going to provide a nutrition plan that includes electrolyte, sugar, maybe some amino acids, maybe some creatine. Obviously, we got to talk to parents to make sure they're good with this stuff. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but creatine is actually a really good supplement to increase ATP output, meaning like they'll have more energy. They'll last longer when they're in their training sessions without fatiguing as quick, and they'll stay hydrated a little bit longer because there is a the ability to hold on to water a little bit more. But then also during a recovery phase, you know, recovery drink with a little bit more carbohydrates, some protein. I don't think we need to really with children need to prioritize protein as much. I think as they're training, they need to have a ton more carbohydrates. I think it's very backwards for kids these days. They think that, you know, because bodybuilders drink protein or eat protein when they're older, that they need to do that now. And honestly, you don't need that much protein as a kid to initiate protein synthesis, meaning create new muscle in their body. So with that, we could be a little bit more effective with creating a better athlete by giving them the proper nutrition when they're kids. And you're absolutely right, Joe Torres. And so if we could spend time with that, you and me, and then discuss how we streamline that through the app, and then, you know, talk to kids on how that can help them, talk to parents how that can help them. But yeah, I mean, I don't want this to go on too much longer, so we'll kind of speed this up. for the future. Development stuff, obviously, throughout the fall, how that leads into the spring. We are going to have development opportunities in the spring. Guys need to maintain and get stronger during that time. And then next summer is going to come super quick. Okay, so if we look at what the club baseball season looks like now, is a big prep phase for us to make sure we develop players and develop athletes. And then we send them to high school, especially guys that are leaving for high school, not obviously not 12 and 13 year olds, but the older guys, we want to send them to high school in a position to be successful, but also a position where they're going to maintain their ability to perform, so that when they come back to us, when they come back to us next May, right, they don't come back to us already broken down. Okay, so now is a big prep phase for us to make sure guys are getting the best or taking advantage of the resources, so that when they get to high school, and they spend 30 games there, it's not going to break them down, and they come back to us in a position where they don't perform, can't perform, are injured, fill in the blank. So that being said, does anybody else have anything that you want to touch on really quick? Any ideas before we break and get off this and move forward with the week? Cool. All right. So with that, I appreciate you guys' time today. I am going to, like I said, we are going to turn this into a podcast. We're going to let players, families listen in. Hopefully it doesn't get too monotonous in like how we interact with each other. And there's actually some dynamic, there's dynamic dialogue. I want to continue to do these things to make sure that, players and parents, they understand like there is a method to our madness and why we do things. And in the process, hopefully a good percentage of our people understand that there's so much more that they can be doing. Just want to give them the chance also for you to kind of, informally introduce yourselves to our program. So thanks everyone for being here. So, all right. All right. Well, thanks everybody. And I will talk to you guys at some point, either today, tomorrow. I'll see a few of you guys this afternoon and evening. Okay. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you. See ya.